Good morning, everyone, again. It's great to be with you this morning, whether you're here or whether you're on the live stream. And as Emma has already said today is the last in our Dangerous Prayers series, and we're looking at Break My Heart. Now, I know what you're thinking. I can see it in your eyes. I can't see the rest of your face, but I can see your eyes. And I know people on the live stream are going to be saying the same thing. Who on earth thought it was a good idea to give me Break My Heart? Yeah. I know that's what you're thinking, but don't worry, I have a plan. So, this is probably one of the most dangerous prayers we've probably looked at in this series, because what if God answers this? We've already kind of looked at it a bit today as we've been worshipping together. What if God answers this? It's going to hurt, isn't it? So, why are we praying this? It's going to mess our lives up. Well, probably. So one question I think dominates when we look at this prayer, and we're going to revisit it time and time again as we go through Scripture together this morning. Why? Why would we pray this prayer? Well, we're going to explore that together as we open the Bible together. So let's pray before we do. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the countless lives it represents and the stories within that all point to the same thing, your love for us. We pray this morning, Spirit, you would be here amongst us in this building and amongst us at home, and you would do what you want to do. If you want to challenge us, Lord, help us to accept that challenge. But if you don't want to and you want to just encourage us, Lord, help us to hear that encouragement. Spirit, we give this time and ourselves to you this morning. Amen. So, as I said, this is the last of our Dangerous Prayers series. And hopefully you're aware what we've been doing is going through the Bible, looking at these different prayers that are risky to pray if we dare pray them. And this one is slightly different than the others we've looked at. Whereas you can find in Scripture some of these other ones exactly prayed, like make me bold or cleanse me. This one, we never find a passage where somebody says, break my heart. However, what we do see over and over again as we go through Scripture is God answering that prayer. Throughout Scripture, over and over, we see God breaks hearts. Now, if we go to the prophets, you know, what we see is God breaking the hearts of his prophets. You know, let's go to Jeremiah. That's an easy one, isn't it? He literally knows the weeping prophet. You know, he has his heart broken for his people. We see a man whose heart is broken for God's people. In Jeremiah 8:21, he says, since my people are crushed, I am crushed. Jeremiah's heart is broken for God's people, for his people. And we could go through all the prophets and find different ways God has broken their heart. But it's not just the prophets. If you're sitting there this morning thinking, I can get out of this prayer because I'm not a prophet. Well, we can have that argument later. But even still, there are tons of people in the Bible, not prophets, who God breaks their hearts. When we get to the story of Nehemiah, we see another man whose heart is broken by God. In Nehemiah 1:3-4, he says, they said to me, so these people coming back from Jerusalem said to him, those who have survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And then Nehemiah says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah may never have prayed that prayer, break my heart, but in this moment, God breaks his heart for his people, for his city. And in our reading that Sean read to us this morning, we see another man, Paul, whose heart is broken by God for his people. In short, we could go on and on and on. In short, what I think is clear in Scripture is that God breaks hearts. But before we explore why we'd want to pray that ourselves, let's take a moment to recognize how God breaks hearts. How he breaks hearts, I think, is important. He doesn't break hearts by letting people down or by betraying them or by failing them or any of the myriad things that we do to damage each other's hearts. When God breaks people's hearts, he does so with love. Their hearts are broken with an abundance of love. Why is Jeremiah crushed? Because he loves God and he loves God's people. Why does Nehemiah weep? Because he loves God and because he loves God's people and God's city. Why does Paul have great sorrow and unceasing anguish? Because he loves God and he loves God's people. God breaks hearts. but he does so in love and with an abundance of love. Let's take a little closer look at what's going on in Paul's story that we heard this morning, shall we? In Romans 9, we heard Paul's writing to the Roman church, and in doing so, he expresses how he feels about the fact that the Jews aren't embracing Jesus. You know, this is really important for Paul. You know, he's a Jew. It goes in Philippians 3, he says he's a Jew amongst all Jews. You know, he's the best they have to offer. He does it a bit more humbly than that, but you know what I mean? He fulfills all the law that he sees. He's the best kind of Jew you can have, and he recognizes that the Jesus that he met on the road to Damascus, this Jesus is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. This is their chosen, the one that has come to them as a chosen people. And he's desperate that they understand this. It's what his heart burns for. And he says, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Unceasing anguish. That sounds pretty broken to me. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. He'll go on to explain how they are the ones that God came for, the ones that Jesus came for, and this is what breaks his heart. But to understand the depth of his love, the depth of the love that he's been given from, the utter brokenness of his heart for his people, let's look at what he's saying. You know, he would choose to be cut off from Christ if it would save his people. Now, that's a powerful enough statement, isn't it? But it's even more than that when we actually look at Paul and how Paul feels about Jesus. If we go to Philippians 3, we find how powerful a statement this is, how deep a desire this is, how broken his heart is when we hear from Paul again what he thinks of his relationship with Jesus. He says in Philippians 3, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things and I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. That word garbage is kind of debated in the things that I've been reading this week, partly because, well, it's American, but no, partly because it's a lot think it's stronger than that. It means garbage, it means rubbish, but some think it means dung. It means human excrement. Some say that the shocking word that he puts in here would be more akin to an expletive I won't use this morning. But this is how he feels about everything else in compared to Jesus, compared to knowing Jesus. Everything else is refuse, rubbish, dung, compared to knowing Jesus. The man who considers his relationship to Christ to be the be-all and end-all says he would rather choose to lose this, the only thing he truly values in this world, if it would save his people. How incredible. This is how much he loves them, how much God has filled his heart with love for them to the point where it breaks. You know, one of the most detrimental things that I think has been created in our society in my lifetime is the 24-hour news cycle. I vaguely remember the days where we'd be watching Neighbours or something else really exciting, and Dad would come home and want to put the news on at 6 o'clock. Because that's only when you could hear the news, wasn't it? 6 and 10, and in the newspapers in the morning. Now, it's nothing like that, is it? You know, we don't wait for that one moment in the day where we get news. Instead, it gets delivered right to our pockets. And it doesn't just sit there, but it buzzes. It alerts me that it's right there. I won't even get started on the ways they think this has affected people's rise in anxiety, but I think one of the worst things about this 24-hour news that it's right there in front of us all the time is that we get compassion fatigue. We're shown so much, so often, we become immune to what we're seeing. We fail to realise that even now, and I'm just as guilty, maybe you're better than me, but we fail to realise even now as what's happening in Afghanistan is happening to people. People just like us, who just days ago were working normal jobs. People just like you and me, people who God loves and cherishes. So why would we pray this prayer, God, break my heart. This prayer is one that's going to hurt. One that will stop us looking away from people when their pain becomes uncomfortable for us. This is a pain-filled prayer. So why would we pray it? Because the world needs us to. Because I believe the world needs God's church to not have compassion fatigue. To love until it hurts. To get on our knees and pray. To intercess on behalf of our world. And that's what this prayer can do. We're asking God to fill our hearts so full of love, with so much love for our brothers and sisters, so much love for the people of this world that it hurts. You wouldn't necessarily think that asking God to fill our hearts with love would hurt, would it? But that's what we see in Jeremiah. It's what we see with Nehemiah. And it's certainly what we see with Paul in his unceasing anguish. But the key is it doesn't stop there with the pain that love brings. When we look at the broken hearts of these men, what we see is lives spurred into action. When God breaks someone's heart, it seems that they can't help but act to do something. You know, Jeremiah has his heart broken for his people, and so he preached. He preached repentance. He preached warning. He preached everything God told him to. Nehemiah had his heart broken for God's people and Jerusalem. And so he takes his own life into his hands and asks King Artaxerxes for help. Artaxerxes is such a good name, isn't it? Can we put that in the book for baby names? She didn't look impressed. He asks King Artaxerxes for help. And then he goes and builds the wall. Despite all the opposition, all the people raiding, he builds those walls again. Paul has his heart broken for his people and he preaches. He builds churches all over the place. And what I love is in Acts 17, we get an insight into his heart. We know Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And yet it says, as was his custom, whenever Paul went to a new city, the first thing he did was he preached in the synagogue. His heart was broken for his people. And so it led him to action. All these actions, they looked very different, but they all began in the same place, with hearts broken by God. The love and the pain that they felt led to action. So why would we pray this prayer? This is one guaranteed to get rid of our comfort, guaranteed to get rid of our self-centered pursuit of ease, a prayer that's going to break our apathy, a prayer that fires us up to see God's kingdom come. You know, let's be honest, and Emma talked about it earlier. You know, I want an easy life. I'd like a comfortable life. But that's not what Jesus promised. In fact, quite the opposite. And as much as I'd love a life filled with comfort and ease, I want to follow Jesus more. This prayer can lead to the destruction of our boredom and the pursuit of God's kingdom. There are other ways, of course. It's not only through a prayer like this, but this is a prayer that could bring about change. It did for these men. It did for many others through Scripture. But hold on. Are we saying here that God breaks people's hearts so they do things for him, like some sort of twisted motivational technique? No, not at all. I believe that when we ask, God will break our hearts. God breaks hearts, but because God's heart breaks. God breaks hearts because God's heart breaks. Once again, it's written all the way through Scripture. Our God is emotional. Praise the Lord. But not in the way, not using emotional in the way that we might use in a negative way to describe people like me, but in a wonderful, amazing way. A God who knows what it is to feel emotion, who doesn't sit above all this and look on dispassionately, but looks on in love. And it breaks his heart. And once again, I think it's written all the way through Scripture. And sometimes we mistake God's heart breaking for anger. If we go right the way back to Genesis and we look at the flood narrative, you remember the story of Noah? He destroys the whole world apart from Noah, his family, and those animals. And we might think God was angry, but Scripture never says that. When we look at that passage, what it says is that when God saw the injustice, the pain, the suffering that human beings were inflicting upon each other, God's heart was broken. He regretted he ever made us. His heart was aggrieved. His heart was broken. In Ezekiel 9, and we won't go into what was going on all the time in Ezekiel, but suffice to say, the people of Israel turned away from God again. God says to Ezekiel in chapter 6, verse 9, I am broken. And then in Luke 19, 41, 44, we could go on, but this one I loved, as Jesus comes over the Mount of Olives and walks down towards Jerusalem, he stops and he weeps. He weeps over everything that's going to befall the city. He weeps over the fact that his chosen people, God's chosen people, are about to miss God's arrival. He weeps over the pain and the suffering that the people will endure. And what we see in this passage and throughout Scripture is the same thing over and over again. A common theme that runs right the way through when it comes to God's heart breaking. It's always for the same thing. God's heart breaks for people. Always for people. God's heart breaks for you. And God's heart breaks for me. And it breaks for every person you've ever met and every person you've never met. Always for people. God's heart breaks for the pain and suffering you experience. The pain and suffering we all experience that was never meant to be in his perfect creation. His heart breaks for the distance that we as humanity place between him and us. And just as we saw earlier, just with all those men that have gone before, God's broken heart. Leads him to action. His broken heart leads him to allowing his body to be broken. His overwhelming love for us, for you, for me, for all humanity, the love that breaks his heart led him to the cross. To bridge that gap, to bridge that distance that we place between us and him, to end pain, to end suffering, his broken heart led him to break his body. If you aren't ready this morning to pray the prayer, God, break my heart, that's okay. Honestly, it's okay. It's not a prayer to pray lightly. It's not a prayer to pray out of guilt. But if you don't take anything else away, take this. God's heart breaks for you. For all that you experienced that wasn't meant to be. For the distance that you had between you or maybe still have. God's heart breaks for you and his body broke for you. His love for you and for all of us is so all-consuming that he sacrificed it all, everything for us. And what breaks my heart is people not knowing that. Is young people not feeling loved? Because this is love. More vast, more divine, more crazy than we can imagine. And it's for all of them. It's for all of us. It's for all of you. It's for everyone. And so I tell them over and over again, and I get emotional every time I do, but I tell them over and over again this one thing: God loves people. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter your identity, no matter what you think about yourself, God loves people with a love so strong it breaks his heart and it broke his body. So why pray this prayer? It will be painful. You'll be burdened. Your heart will ache. You may well lose sleep. You may burn with righteous anger. But I also believe you'll understand better the heart of God. A heart that is for you, for your family, for Eastleigh, for Afghanistan, for every human life. Why I pray this? Because you'll understand the heart that breaks for people. Because God loves people. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for your love. Your love that is unfathomable to us. Your love that stepped down and gave up everything for us. Father, we thank you for your love. And God, this morning we do pray, wherever we're at, whether we need challenge or encouragement, that we would know your love. That we would choose to close that distance between you and us, because you made a way, because you bridged that gap with your death on a cross. This morning, Lord, we pray that we would know afresh your broken heart of love for us. Amen. Before I pass back to Emma, we just wanted to take a moment and just allow God to do whatever he wanted to do. A moment of response. If he's been speaking to you this morning, which we pray he has, then it's a moment to just talk to him. Maybe some of us here this morning who feel like we're ready to pray that prayer, who have got tired of compassion fatigue, who got tired of apathy and boredom and want God to break our hearts to do something. And if that's you this morning, then we're going to pray in a moment, and please do join me in praying that prayer. However, I do wonder if there's some here this morning who are sitting there and thinking, I want to pray that prayer, but my heart's already too broken. Broken not with an abundance of love, but with an abundance of hurt and pain. And if that is you this morning, then I want to tell you, God loves you. And he is just as much in the business of mending hearts as he is breaking them. And so if that is you, if either of those are you, we're going to pray together now. And please do feel free to join me in this prayer. But if it's not you, please pray for those who may well be feeling the call of God in this moment. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your love that doesn't leave us as we are, but changes us. And Lord, some of us this morning, we want to pray that prayer. God, will you break our hearts for what breaks yours? Would you break this compassion fatigue many of us feel and see the people that you love on the other end of those screens? God, would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? And would you lead us by your Spirit into action? Your action, by the power of your Spirit, led by your Spirit. God, break our hearts. But Lord, for some of us, our hearts already feel far too broken to pray this prayer right now. And for Lord, for those of us, I pray that you would bind up those broken hearts. You would pour out your love and your healing. That we would know undoubtedly, without a shadow of a doubt, how loved we are by you. And find the healing in that. Lord, whatever you are doing this morning, we say we give you our hearts. And Spirit, we ask you to do with them as you wish. For we know that is the best for us and the best for our world. So this morning we give our hearts to you, Jesus, to do as you wish. In your name we pray. Amen.